Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Welcome. So last week we began a two-week series called Jesus and Fear. And today we're really excited to hear from Rebecca, who is our youth pastor. She's awesome. Just calm down. Not yet. Just one more thing to tell you about before we go nuts and she comes up here. We're moving towards getting closer and closer to Easter, which is April 1st this year. And as we move towards Easter, we're going to be going into a six-week series together called Greater Love. And that phrase is lifted from John 15, where Jesus says that there is no greater demonstration of love than when someone lays down their life for their friends. And he is, of course, when he's sitting around the table with his disciples, speaking of his own action through the cross. And he says also in that space that we didn't choose God, but God chose us. And so we're going to be looking at that phrase, greater love, over those next number of weeks as we lead towards Easter. But one of the ways we're going to be doing that is for the first 2 weeks of that series, that's next week and the week following, we're going to be emphasizing global work. So as you know, we celebrate and support global work all around the world. There's about 12, 13 different initiatives that we support, families that we get behind. And so we're going to be looking at what these people are up to around the world and how we can continue to support and celebrate what they're doing. So that is next week and the week following. And then we'll be investigating greater love further from there to take a look at how God has given us his greater love and how his greater love is being worked out through our lives. And that's what we're going to be doing on our way towards Easter. Well, okay, now are you ready to cheer for Rebecca? Rebecca's our youth pastor. She's going to come up with part two on Jesus and Fear. Let's say hi to Rebecca.
I feel so loved. Thank you, guys. So last week, Luke began our mini-series called Jesus and Fear. He did a great job unpacking the broad biblical view of fear. He left us with a statement to contemplate. Fear not, because God. This morning, we're going to build on this a little more. But before we do, I want to reiterate that our goal in this series isn't to answer every question that we might have about fear or speak to specific psychological concerns. As Luke mentioned last week, we believe in the amazing service that therapy and counseling provide. Some months ago, the Youth Network had the privilege of being educated on mental health through several counselors who attend here. It proved to be a valuable resource. And it was a great gift to our students, our youth staff, and our parents. Adults in our community also had the privilege of attending mental health workshops. God cares about our health, including our mental health. And if you're here today and you're in need of that specialized training, just ask one of us and we'll be happy to point you in the right direction. As Luke mentioned last week, our hope is to help put fear in its place from a biblical perspective. To ask, how should a Christian think about fear and what can a Christian do with fear? I'd like to start with a little story from my childhood. Y'all good with that? Have a good childhood. I come from a family of girls. Anybody with me? Yeah? That's right. Come on. I have two sisters, Eva and Deborah. Eva is the oldest, Deborah is the youngest, and I am your classic middle child. Woo! I feel connected to you already. We always get the shaft. Anyway, that's for another time. Now, when we were younger, Eva liked to play tricks on us. Like one time, I bit into a piece of soap because she told me that it was white chocolate. Yeah. She didn't always work alone. Sometimes she had an accomplice. His name was Leon, and he is my cousin. One day, we were all hanging out in our games room, and out of the corner of my eye, I noticed that Eva and Leon were huddled as if in a secret meeting. After about 5 minutes, Eva had to go to the bathroom, right? The bathroom. Naturally, I was suspicious given my past experience with her. But when I asked Leon about it, he assured me that everything was okay. It was no big deal. She really just had to pee. At this point, I trusted Leon, so I let it rest. About a minute later, Leon started asking us what we would do if a bad guy suddenly charged through the door and came at us with an axe. Now, I was surprised that our conversation took such a dark and oddly specific turn. But again, I went with it, right? Just go with it. I said I'd probably scream my head off. If I'm going to be honest, I'll scream my head off. Leon, however, assured us that if that ever were to happen, that we would have nothing to fear because he was there with us. We could rest assured knowing that he would defend us. And he went on like that for a bit about how courageous he'd be when, no joke, all of a sudden, this stranger bursts into the room with this big boots and a fuzzy parka with the hood up, and they're carrying an axe. What a coincidence! We were just talking about this. It was, of course, my older sister, Eva. Now, I suspect that she came in prematurely because when she charged into the room, my cousin hit the roof and dove behind a potted plant, leaving Deborah and I exposed and defenseless to this scary axe person. I thought that my heart was going to burst right out of my chest. Deborah was screaming, I was screaming, Leon was still hiding behind the potted plant, and Eva was on the ground laughing hysterically. See, the original plan was for Eva to charge into the room on cue, right? On cue being the key phrase, and for my cousin to save the day. They were supposed to battle it out, but they didn't anticipate that my cousin would throw himself behind a potted plant. Now, truth be told, my sister was laughing more at my cousin's reaction than mine and Deborah's. Now, in all fairness to Leon, I recently learned that in the face of fear, I too am a flighter. And I blame genetics. This morning, we are going to look at fear through the lens of one specific story in the Gospels and talk about how we can respond when chaos erupts around us and when fear rises up within us. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Mark 4. If you don't have one with you, you can pay attention to the screen behind me and follow along. I'm going to start at verse 35. Just wait a second. Y'all turn there. Hate it when the preacher goes, turn with me here, and then by the time you get there, they're already finished reading. So I'm going to just, y'all good? Y'all good? Good. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High winds were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and waves obey him. Let's explore this further, shall we? Jesus has had a very full day of teaching by the lake, and he's exhausted. He instructs the disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. Jesus gets in the boat, then lies down in the back and takes a nap. all seems calm, and all seems well. Then, seemingly out of nowhere, bam! They find themselves in the middle of this gnarly storm. The storm came on fast, and it came violently, causing great panic among the disciples and a fear that they were going to die in it. Now, it would be normal in this situation for someone like me to react this way because most of my boating experience is limited to being a passenger on a BC ferry. But some of the disciples in the boat were experienced fishermen on this lake. They had sailed these seas. They knew what to expect. They were fully aware that this lake was known for its sudden and violent storms. It's likely they'd been caught in the middle of storms just like this. But something about this storm was different. All of their knowledge and all of their training didn't seem to help them in this particular situation. They were in over their heads and they were afraid. Maybe fear had paralyzed their hearts. Can anyone relate to this? Can anyone relate to this feeling of having your mind and heart paralyzed by fear? One minute, our lives are a picture of tranquility, and the next minute, chaos ensues. Unexpected bills come that we can't afford to pay. We're given a life-altering diagnosis. A loved one dies suddenly. We get laid off from our job. Our spouse walks out on us. We suffer a miscarriage. We start up at a new school, and we find ourselves being bullied day after day after day. Though we faced adversity before, something is different about this. This seems bigger. All our knowledge and experience doesn't seem to bring any kind of calm to what we're facing. We're in over our heads and we're afraid because we can't see a positive outcome. Chaos is front and center and we can't seem to look past it. Last week, Luke introduced us to a painting by Turner, a 19th century artist. It's called Stormy Seas with Blazing Wreck, and it depicts a ship on fire in the background with raging waves in the foreground. When chaos erupts in our lives, we often see it like this painting, dark and sad with little to no hope in sight. As the wind is raging and the waves are crashing down on them and the boat is filling up with water, the disciples shout, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" This isn't a cry for help. It's a protest against Jesus' apparent indifference. They were frustrated that he wasn't doing anything to help. He was sleeping while they were trying to keep the boat afloat and stay alive. When darkness and chaos come crashing into our lives, we often become gripped with fear. Sometimes we're paralyzed by it. Other times we react by trying to deal with that chaos on our own. We do everything humanly possible to make it better. And when that doesn't work, we look at Jesus instead of to Jesus. Rather than saying, "Jesus, help us," we say, "Jesus, why aren't you helping us? Why aren't you doing something about our situation? Don't you care that we're going to drown?" In these moments, we look at Jesus as though he is uninterested in what we are going through. We think and we pray as though Jesus doesn't really care about our situation, like he's too busy or something. When chaos is in the foreground, like that painting, all our eyes can see is a sleeping Jesus in the background. What I find interesting here, but also what I find very encouraging, is that Jesus slept through the violent rocking of the boat, the raging winds, the crashing waves, the arguing disciples, but he woke up when his disciples cried out to him. He woke up when his disciples cried out to him. Like a mother who only wakes up when she hears the sound of her crying baby, Jesus woke up the moment he heard his disciples cry out to him, and he does the same for us. He has great compassion for us and what we face. He is fully aware of it and fully present in the midst of it. As the psalmist David writes, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me." Unlike my then 14-year-old cousin who was caught off guard by my sisters bursting through the door before it was time, Jesus isn't thrown off by the sudden violent storms that rise up in our lives. Jesus rests because he knows the promise of God at work in the storm, and we can rest knowing that God is present with us in the midst of our storm. Jesus wakes up, and he rebukes the wind, and he tells the waves to be still, and immediately there's this great calm. And Jesus turns to his disciples and asks, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Jesus wasn't bothered by the fact that his disciples were afraid. There is nothing inherently wrong with being afraid. Fear is a natural response to things that overwhelm or threaten us. But Jesus was troubled by the fact that in their fear, they failed to trust him. In their fear, they lost sight of who he was. Christine Kane, author, speaker, founder of the A21 campaign, an organization that works to fight human trafficking, recently tweeted, "The God that works in you is greater than the circumstances that come at you. In the midst of difficult circumstances, we need to remember that God is greater. We sung about that this morning. As we were encouraged last week to do, we must let God fill up the foreground. In these moments, it's good to remember that the God who split the seas for the Israelites, the God who took down a giant through a boy with a sling and a stone, the God who created the universe, and the God who conquered death and the grave is the same God who is present in the midst of our chaos, and he is greater than anyone and anything that will come against us. And we can take comfort in that. We can trust him. Trust is letting go of how we see God in the midst of our chaos, and it's holding tightly to who God reveals himself to be in Scripture. It's taking God out of the box that we put him in. It's giving him the freedom to move in the way that he wants to move, knowing that he has our best interest at heart. We may not always understand his ways, but we can take comfort knowing that he is good. God may choose to calm our storm, or he may choose to ride it out with us. But whatever he does, we need to know that he is good and he is great. After Jesus calmed the storm and gently rebuked his disciples, the Bible says that the disciples were absolutely terrified, asking each other, "Who is this man?" This wasn't an kind of fear. This was a whoa. I can just picture the disciples standing dumbfounded in the boat with their jaws to the floor, staring at Jesus, who with a simple rebuke from his lips tamed the raging seas. In that moment, the disciples experienced what Luke explained last week as a reverent fear of Jesus. They had seen him do miracles before. They were front and center when Jesus healed a man with leprosy, when he cast out a demon and made a lame man walk. But in their minds, only God, only Yahweh had power over elements. I suspect it was the very first time they realized that God Almighty was in their boat. That God was in their presence. And it terrified them in the most wonderful way. When I was 13 years old at a Tuesday night youth gathering, I experienced my first whoa moment. I'd faced many challenges growing up. A lot of powerful storms threatened to break my family apart. I went to church, I knew God, and I believed that He was real. In Sunday school, I had invited Jesus into my heart. But I often wondered in these times where He was in the midst of what we were facing as a family. I remember hearing the message that night at youth and there being an invitation to prayer. I went up to the front. Eva met me there and prayed for me. That night I had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit that took me from God, don't you care, to whoa. In that moment, God not only revealed Himself to me in a new way, He also gave me a fresh revelation of His presence. And I honestly believe that He wants to do that for us this morning. See, I realized then and there that God had been present with me and my family all along. Looking back on it, I allowed my circumstances to take center stage instead of allowing God to fill up the foreground. God Almighty, the one who controls the elements, is present in our chaos. He was there with the disciples through the person of Jesus, and He is here with us now through the person of the Holy Spirit. He is an ever-present help in times of trouble. He is greater than any evil thing that comes against us, and we can take comfort knowing that He is close beside us. Right at the beginning of this story, Jesus said to His disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." Right from the get-go, Jesus promised that they were going to get to the other side of the lake. He didn't say, "Hey guys, we're going to make our way to the other side of this lake, but I've got to warn you, we might drown in the middle of it." Just want to throw that out there. Just want to keep it real. Keeping it real, boys. No, He said, "Let's cross. We're going to cross to the other side." There is an other side to the chaos that we face. That's the big picture of Scripture, isn't it? It's the salvation story. God is bringing us into harbor, into new creation safety. And He's also doing that for us today. Jesus is getting us to and will get us to the other side. Jesus has the victory, and we have victory in Jesus. Whether we get to the other side in this life or in eternity, Jesus promises us that one day there will be no more weeping, no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, and no more pain. One day chaos will be silenced forever, and darkness will be no more. That is our eternal hope. We just looked at fear through the lens of this powerful story. And my prayer is that we would allow this truth to settle in our hearts, that it will bring encouragement to us when chaos erupts in our lives. But last week, Luke left us with this statement to consider that I want to bring us back to this morning, if that's okay. Fear not, because God. If you think about it, this is a powerful and truly comforting statement. It may not be so powerful and comforting if it just stays in our head. But I know from experience that when this becomes a reality in our hearts, it serves as a great reminder that when we're in the thick, as a great reminder of God's presence when we are in the thick of chaos. Fear not, because God is present. Fear not, because the Creator of the universe, the Savior of the world, the great I Am, the King of kings, and the Lord of all, the one who is all-present, all-powerful, all-knowing, just, kind, merciful, and loving, is close beside us. He has our back. He's got your back. He's got our back as we walk through the darkest valleys. He is there giving us strength, hope, and peace that passes all understanding. He weeps with us, walks with us, and holds us close. Fear not, church, because God. Fear not. Some of you need to hear that this morning. Fear not. Because God. He's here. And he wants to meet with you in the midst of your chaos, in the midst of your broken heart, your confusion, your heartache. He's here. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us personally. We learned about how to look at fear and deal with fear in a very general sense, but I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you and me specifically. And I realize that all of us are at a different place in our faith journey. But wherever that is, my prayer is that we would all experience a whoa moment. I pray that we all experience a woe moment today where we are just hit with the reality of the presence of God in our lives. A moment we are reminded of God's goodness, his greatness, and his presence. Why don't you all stand with me? Jen is going to take us through a song. And I just want this time to be a time of prayer and reflection. Again, Luke and I could only speak generally to things, but the Holy Spirit knows every single one of our situations here, and so he can encourage you specifically. If you want to pray with somebody else, pray with someone else. If you just want to sit and you just want to hear God, do that. If you want to read your Bible, read your Bible. But for the next few moments, let's allow the Holy Spirit to move.